So we have already announced our subject for this evening is the must of the soul winner. Christ here is the soul winner. Another must in the Master's public ministry. In our text then, you will be able to detect what the text is. It's there in verse 4, John 4 and verse 4. And there we read, and he must, needs, go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. The fourth chapter of John opens with the words, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, verse 3. Leaving Judea, why is that emphasized? That the Lord left Judea, he was leaving a place that had mostly rejected him. And so it is no wonder that the Savior left Judea, because we should remember the Lord will never stay where he is not wanted. The people, you recall, of Gadara began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Mark 5, verse 17. Imagine, they prayed him, they pleaded with him to leave them, to leave their coasts. Well, he certainly granted them their wish, because we read through the Gospels, we find the Lord never returned to the land of Gadara where he had healed the demoniac. And now here we are told, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. Mark those words. He left and departed. He left and departed. Two chilling words when related to Christ and his ministry. He left and departed. That emphasizes for us here that the Lord Jesus was in a place that people had rejected him. And so he left those same people and departed. You take the word left. He left and departed. That word left is a very strong word in the original. The word left there means abandon. To abandon someplace. To abandon a people. And what a word is that? What a word is that for any Christ-rejecting individual? To be abandoned. To be abandoned by God. Is to be lost eternally. And all in hell tonight have been abandoned by God. There is no rescue for them. There is no retrieving them. There is no reaching them. There is a great gulf fixed. They've been abandoned as the Lord abandoned the people of Judea. He left and departed. Because he wasn't wanted there. But thankfully, the Savior did not always meet with such opposition. Just as he was rejected by the men of Gadara, when the Lord did leave the land of Gadara, we're told, when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered unto him. Much people gathered unto him. And so there was a people there ready to receive him. People of Gadara had rejected him. But there was a people waiting for him. Now when he left Judea and departed. He may not have been met immediately by a host of people, by a multitude of people. Nevertheless, he was well received by one person and then later by many others. For when he left Judea, he did so with the intention of meeting an individual. He knew who that individual was. He knew where he would find and meet with that individual. He knew that he would win that individual to himself. That's why when he left Judea and departed, he must needs go through Samaria. And here is the must of the soul winner. As we see how Christ reached and saved the woman of Samaria. It's a wonderful story. I want us first of all to consider the path for the Master. The path for the Master. From the words of our text, we see that the Savior determined that this was the path that he was going to take to the place where he would meet with this individual. And for the Savior, it was a must. He didn't go any other way. He must needs go through Samaria. Here we have, first of all, then, regarding the path, we have here his will. He must needs go through Samaria. It was his will to go through Samaria. It was his will to meet with this woman of Samaria. That would not have been the will of many a Jew. Not at all. Instead, they would have avoided going that way. And many of them did. Rather than go through Samaria and rather come in contact with a Samaritan. Even as the woman herself said there in verse 9, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But our dear Savior did not view nor think of Samaritans in that way. He had a will to reach them, and he had a heart that loved them. That's who Christ is. After all, you look through the Gospels, he spoke well of one of them, of a Samaritan, when he told the story about the Good Samaritan. Told the story about a Good Samaritan. He didn't tell the story about a Jew. He chose to tell the story about a Samaritan. Luke 10, verses 30 to 37. We see also his willingness to love the Samaritan. His desire. He had a desire for them. He had a love for them. For we read that a Samaritan had leprosy. And he was pleased to heal that Samaritan. We read in Luke 17, verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He was the only one, you recall, out of the number who came back to thank the Lord. It was a Samaritan. And here the Lord commends the Samaritan. And didn't he rebuke two of his own disciples for what they planned to do? They wanted to destroy some Samaritans by calling down fire from heaven. Think of that. These were the Lord's disciples. And it shows you how prejudiced they were against Samaritans. But what did Christ say? Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Yes, that includes Jews and Gentiles, publicans and sinners, and Samaritans. That's why he came. He came to save. That was his will. And it was his will to go through Samaria because he was going to meet with and minister to a woman of Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. There's the must of the soul winner. As well as his will, we notice also his way. We are specifically told the way that the Savior went in order to meet with this Samaritan. He must needs go through Samaria. It's a must. That would have been the most straightforward way. It was a straight way there from where he left. But because of their hatred for the Samaritans, many of the Jews would not have walked that way. They would have taken a longer way to their destination because of their hatred for the Samaritans. But the Lord Jesus, he went that way. And again, there was no such prejudice with Christ against the Samaritans. No sectarianism with Christ. No dislike for Samaritans. And certainly no hatred for Samaritans. He only had love for them. That's who he is. He who is no respecter of persons must needs go through Samaria to meet with a soul and change her life. He is the great soul winner. No one else could help this woman. No one else could save her from her sin. No one but Christ. So he must needs go through Samaria. Indeed, the words must need. Those two words, he must needs go through Samaria. Those two words are one word in the original. And the one word is, which means necessary. Though to emphasize even more, it was necessary that he go through Samaria. Necessary, because he had to meet with the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. It was his will. We have his way. Must needs go through Samaria. We also have his walk. I say his walk because he was not transported there in the back of a beast of burden. No, he didn't ride a horse there or a mule there. He had to walk. There's only one time that we read off in the Gospels that the Lord Jesus ever rode upon the back of a beast of burden. Only once. And that was in the fulfillment of Scripture. As we read in Matthew 21, verse 5, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." That's the only time we read about Christ riding upon a beast of burden. Everywhere else he went, he walked it. And when he said he must needs go through Samaria, then he would have to go on foot. You know, it's easy for us just to read over those words and not really stop to think. How far would it have been from Judea to Samaria? Well, It was a distance of approximately 40 miles. 40 miles. How long would it have taken the Savior to walk that distance of 40 miles? If the Lord walked at 3 miles an hour, which is the sort of average that people pace that people walk, if he was to walk at 3 miles an hour, that would have taken him approximately 13 hours to get to Samaria, to where this woman was. And since he met the Samaritan woman at the well, we're given the time, 12 noon. It was 12 noon when he met with her. And is it any wonder that he sat down on the well exhausted and asked for water? So he walked for 40 miles, which took him approximately 13 hours. That tells me, if he met the woman at about 12 noon, the sixth hour, 12 noon, he must have left the day before to walk to Samaria. What a burden the dear Savior must have had for that woman of Samaria. What a burden the Lord must have had, prepared to go so far. Yea, and saying, I must needs go. I must needs walk 40 miles. I must needs walk for 13 hours. I have a soul to minister to. I have a soul to save. What a burden Christ had. How far, think of it, how far would we be prepared to go to speak to someone about their soul? Christ walked 40 miles. But wait a minute. If the Lord was prepared to go so far, was prepared to walk so far for one soul, didn't he go much further to reach you and me? He covered a distance that cannot be measured when he left heaven's glory and came down that long, long road of humiliation to be the Savior of his people. He walked 40 miles to reach one soul, but he came much further to reach you and I. Paul put it well. In Philippians 2, in verse 6, speaking of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's equal with God. He is God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's how far he came. For there in glory he was the song of angels. But he came into a world where he became the song of the drunkard. And he came so far. We marvel at him walking 40 miles to reach one soul. No one can measure the distance that that the Lord Jesus came from heaven to earth to win our souls, to be the Savior of our souls, the must of the soul winner. That can apply to us also. We considered the path for the Master. One is to look now at the purpose of the Master. The Savior, of course, knew before he departed Judea what his purpose was. That's why he said he must needs go through Samaria. He must, because he had a purpose in mind. He was going there to meet with the woman of Samaria. He was going to speak to a soul about her sin and about salvation. So he must needs go through Samaria. That was his purpose. I want you to notice regarding his purpose, his waiting. In his meeting with individuals, his providential meeting with individuals, the day of Savior is never late. He is always early. He is there in his place waiting for others to come to him. What did he say? Didn't he say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. I'm waiting here for you to come to me." He's waiting. And that verse we often quote on a Wednesday night, where the Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There am I." In other words, I'm already there. I'm waiting for you to come to me. I'm already there. There I am. And here we see when he came to meet with this woman, the Lord was already there. He waited for her to come to him. He was already there. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on, verse 6, the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which is midday. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. So the Lord's sitting, waiting for her to come. It's the same whenever he was in the temple, you recall. We're told in Luke 21, verse 38, we're told these, "And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him." Now it says the people came early in the morning, but lo and behold, Christ is there before them. He's there in the temple waiting for them to come to him. And here we see the Savior at Jacob's well, waiting to meet with this woman and speak to her about her soul. Think of it. 40 miles. 13 hours to walk that distance approximately. And he was there on time. He left in good enough time, whether it was the day before or not. He left in good enough time that he would be there waiting for the woman to arrive. I must needs go through Samaria. Think of it. Think of it. If the Lord had been late, the woman would have been there and gone. He wouldn't have had a chance to speak to her. She would have been there and got her water pots filled with water and have gone. But that wasn't the case. Christ was there waiting for her. He had a burden for that woman and her soul. He had a soul to meet and a soul to speak to. about eternal matters, and he didn't want to be late. He was prepared to leave Judea the day before and walk all those miles to meet with her. The must of the soul winner. What a Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior we have in Christ. I wonder if this woman had known how far the Lord came to meet with her. I have no doubt she would have said, "Did you walk all those miles? Did you walk that distance to speak to me, to be with me, just to meet with me?" Quite possible she would have said that. And we can say to Christ tonight, "Lord, thou didst come all that way from glory to earth just to speak to me, just to save me, just to win my soul." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Notice not only his waiting, we see also his word. Knowing the attitude of the Jews toward the Samaritans and the animosity which existed between the two, the Lord ignored all of that. He wasn't of that kind, that form, that type. That wasn't Christ. I've often said, whenever you really look into the Lord, his life, his ministry, you realize how unlike the Lord we really are. And here we have the Lord, and he's sitting at the well, waiting for the woman to arrive. He spoke a word to her. In verse 7, "Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Then verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Notice something. Knowing the background relating to the Jews and the Samaritans, the woman said herself, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You notice that whenever the Lord spoke to this woman, he didn't mention anything about her being a Samaritan. He didn't talk about the prejudice that existed between Jews and Samaritans. He didn't talk about political things with her either, and the difference between the two politically. First thing he said was, give me to drink. He used that simple introductory word, give me to drink, to go on to speak about her drinking the living water that would spring up into everlasting life. No, he didn't argue with her for being a Samaritan. No, he didn't attack her for being a Samaritan. No, he wasn't angry with her because she was a Samaritan. He opened a conversation with her about giving him a drink of water, and this he did skillfully that he might later speak about the water, the living water. He's the master soul winner. He knows how to deal with individuals. Now the Savior, back there in Judea, knew that a woman was coming to Jacob's well. He knew it. He knew it was the sixth hour she would arrive. And he was there waiting for her. Even though he was 40 miles away and took him 13 hours to get there, he said, I must needs go through Samaria because I have a soul to speak to. I have a soul to save. And when he got there and spoke to her, he gave her his word. He gave her the word about everlasting life. The word about living water. That's what you needed to hear. And Christ was the one to give it to her. Oh, that we had the same burden for souls that Christ had. Read a story once about a Christian man over in England. He was talking to an unconverted man about the things of God, explaining the gospel to him. And the unconverted man said to this Christian individual, he says, you know, if I believe what you believe, he says, I would be prepared to go on my hands and knees across broken glass from John O'Groats to Land's End, the length of England, from John of Goats to Land End, to tell people the story that you have. And you're trying to tell me today. I would go on my hands and knees on broken glass. Because he had a wonderful story to tell about the Savior and his love for sinners. The Lord Jesus walked those 40 miles. The Lord Jesus came from glory to earth. How far would we go to tell somebody about Christ? His way, his word, and then you have the wonder. There's a wonder here. When the disciples came upon the scene, remember they were away into the city to buy meat. And they wondered. We read there in verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, or with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? They were filled with wonder. They marveled. There's the first reason why these disciples marveled or why they wondered. They wondered when they, first of all, when they saw a woman. When they saw that Christ was speaking to a woman. And listen, that's the way it is in the original. It says here, that the disciples came and marveled that he talked with the woman. And the original it is, they marveled that he talked with a woman. And that's important. That he talked with a woman. No woman in particular. Just a woman. In other words, the disciples marveled that he talked to a commoner. Just a commoner. She's just a woman. Nobody of any importance. Just a commoner. Why would he spend time speaking with a commoner? I remember what he said. He must needs go through Samaria that he might talk to a commoner. But sure, aren't those the people the Lord's interested in? The Lord is interested in ordinary people. We talk about an ordinary 5'8", a commoner. It was not what was said about him. It was not what was said, Mark 12, verse 37. The common people heard him gladly. The common people were attracted to him. They heard him gladly. Where would we be if the dear Savior wasn't interested in ministering to and speaking to and saving common people? Where would we be? The disciples, I have no doubt, because they saw him talking to a woman. They saw a woman. They marveled also because she was a Samaritan woman. Sure, didn't the woman say herself, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, as the disciples themselves, being Jews, marveled that the Savior should speak to someone whom the Jews despised. And here was the Lord speaking to someone that the Jewish people despised. But the Lord Jesus, being the Son of David, being a Jew, here he's speaking to a Samaritan. And they marveled. They were filled with wonder that he would do such a thing. Remember, some of his disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans. And here is the Lord speaking to a Samaritan woman. Again, how far removed are we from any likeness to the Lord? Would those disciples have passed her by? Would those disciples have said, well, I'm not going to talk to that woman, she's a Samaritan? But that wasn't Christ. The Lord Jesus is interested in common people. The Lord Jesus, as was said, is interested in Jew and Gentile. He's interested in publicans and sinners, and he's interested in Samaritans and their soul. They saw a woman. She was a Samaritan woman. And she was a sinful woman. The Lord had exposed her sinful life and showed her a remedy. For she said to her, go and call thy husband. And of course, she had many husbands. And the disciples marveled that he would speak to such an individual, sinful woman, but sure, again, isn't that who Christ came into the world to save? Sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. He's the friend, sure. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. And we ought to marvel why he must needs come from heaven to earth to save us from our sins. We marvel. We wonder. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder in Calvary's mount outpoured, there with the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace. We considered the path of the Master. The purpose for the Master, I must needs go through Samaria. That leaves us then to consider the pardon from the Master. When the Lord Jesus walked 40 miles to speak to this woman, we see that it was worth the journey. Of course it was. It was worth the journey. We see how, again, he must needs go through Samaria because the woman he met at the well and spoke to, we see, first of all, she was converted by Christ. She was converted. No, we've, as I said this morning, we've looked at this woman's conversion in our series regarding amazing conversions or salvations, works of salvation. We've concentrated more on the woman. And we're not given exact details, but we look and we see the woman was converted by Christ. The Lord Jesus, of course, is the only Savior of the soul, and at the same time, he is the great soul winner. And as Solomon has said, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We sang that tonight. He that winneth souls is wise. And Christ is wisdom incarnate. He knew how to speak to this woman. He knew how to meet with her. He knew how to deal with her and about her soul and about her need of salvation. He spoke to her about everlasting life. And she was converted. Verse 25. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And her eyes were opened, and her heart was opened to receive the dear Lord. He that winneth souls is wise. Was he not wise in traveling those miles, taking time to speak to this woman about her soul? And we read again, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12 and 3. Turn many to righteousness. That's what Christ did with this woman. She was a sinner, an immoral woman. But the Lord dealt with her wisely. And they that turn many to righteousness, they'll shine as the stars forever and ever. And sure, don't we know the brightest star in the heavens is the bright and the morning star. Christ is the bright and the morning star. Praise the Lord. As well as the woman being converted by Christ, we see also the woman, she confessed Christ. There's the evidence of her salvation. She confessed Christ. That was a sure sign that a genuine work of grace had been wrought in her soul. Verse 25 again, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. In verse 26, and Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am. Verse 29, she went away into the city. She left her water pots behind. In other words, she left her burden behind. She had met Christ, she left her burden behind. And in verse 29, she saw those men and said, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? She confessed Christ. And through her confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know what happened. We know that the men of the city came out to Christ, and he saw those souls saved as well and converted. Now we see clearly why he must needs go through Samaria. There's the must of Christ, the great soul winner. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts this evening. And think about and meditate upon what the Lord has taught us this evening about himself. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we bow once again before thee. We lift our hearts to thee. Thank thee for our Savior. Thank thee, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank thee, Lord, for making me whole. Thank thee, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. We bless thee, Lord, for what we've learned tonight about the Savior, the must of the soul winner. What a soul winner Christ was, and how he has saved countless millions, multitudes that cannot be numbered. And we rejoice he's still in the soul-saving business. Lord, again, I pray write this word upon our hearts tonight, that we think about it, meditate upon it, and go over it again. Make us all soul winners. As Rutherford said of one soul at Anworth, should meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Lord, be with us now as we leave God's house. Grant us traveling mercy as we make our way home. And, O Lord, keep thy hand of protection upon us throughout the week. Again, Lord, keep this virus from us, from our church family or individual families. And undertake in all that we seek to do in thy name and for thy glory. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.